ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 14th। चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड आइडियल फैमिली लाइफ। टेक्स्ट नंबर 41। पुरुषेषु अपि राजेन्द्र सुपात्रं ब्राह्मणं विदुः तपसा विद्यया तुष्ट्या धत्ते वेदं हरेस्तनुम्। ट्रांसलेशन पर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस ए सी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation: My dear king, of all persons, a qualified brahmana must be accepted as the best within this material world, because such a brahmana, by practicing austerity, Vedic studies, and satisfaction, becomes the counterpart body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport: From the Vedas, we learn that Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Person. Every living entity is an individual person, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the Supreme Person. A Brahmana who is well versed in Vedic knowledge and fully conversant with transcendental matters becomes a representative of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore one should worship such a Brahman or Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is superior to a Brahman because whereas a Brahmana knows that he is Brahman, not matter, a Vaishnava knows that he is not only Brahman but also an eternal servant of the Supreme Brahman. Therefore, worship of a Vaishnava is superior to worship of the deity in the temple. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Sakshad Haritvena Samastha Shastre. In all the scriptures, the spiritual master, who is the best of the Brahmanas, the best of the Vaishnavas, is considered to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This does not mean, however, that the Vaishnava thinks himself God, for this is blasphemous. Although a Brahmana or Vaishnava is worshipped as being as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such a devotee always remains a faithful servant of the Lord and never tries to enjoy the prestige that might accrue to him from being the Supreme Lord's representative. Translation once again. My dear king, of all persons, a qualified Brahmana must be accepted as the best within this material world, because such a Brahmana, by practicing austerity, Vedic studies, and satisfaction, becomes the counterpart body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So welcome all the devotees to our morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. We are continuing our discussion from this wonderful chapter, Ideal Family Life, and almost we are ending this chapter now. One more shloka to go now. And the discussion is going between Narad Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj, where Yudhishthir Maharaj has asked a question to Narad Muni about the duties of a householder. And Narad Muni is very wonderfully describing the whole chapter about how a householder should execute his household activities of respecting and worshipping superiors. So this verse is a culmination where Narad Muni is telling Yudhishthir Maharaj of respecting and worshipping a Brahmana or a Vaishnava. For a Brahmana or a Vaishnava is a representative of Krishna, and therefore by worshipping a Brahmana or a Vaishnava, one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a nice story in this regard from the chapters of South India. This happened in Kanchipuram way back, when Sri Kanchipurna was worshipping the beautiful deity of Vardaraj. Vardaraj is also known as the deity who is expert and is very benevolent in giving benedictions to his devotees. So Kanchipuram was such a pure devotee that he would go regularly and worship this deity. And his purity was such great that Lord would talk to him. The deity would speak to him. So one day, while walking from his home to temple, one Vaishnava happened to see him, and Vaishnava asked him that you're going to meet Lord Vardaraj. So please go to Vardaraj and please ask him that, do I stand a chance to come to him, return back to the spiritual world in this lifetime? So Kanchipurna promised him that definitely I'll speak and I'll ask the Lord and I'll come back to give you answer. So he went, and Kanchipurna was fanning the Lord with his chamar. And he asked the Lord, O Lord, this Vaishnava has a question for you. He wants to know that will he possibly able to achieve perfection in this life? And the Lord said, tell him that because of his service to Vaishnavas, he will definitely in this very lifetime achieve perfection and he'll return back to Godhead. So Kanchipurna was very happy to hear this. So he was thinking that since I have asked this question about his perfection, this devotee's perfection, let me also ask about myself. So he said, what about me, Lord? Will I achieve perfection? And the Lord said that, not this lifetime. And he was shocked. And he was saying, oh Lord, but I am serving every day. So Lord said, yes, you are serving me and I am reciprocating with you by talking to you. So reciprocation is over, everything is equal. But this person is serving my devotee, which I cannot liquidate this debt. So when Kanchipuram heard this, he was thinking in his mind, what should I do? He immediately threw his chamar and he left the Lord and he went out to serve the Vaishnavas. So this whole purport, Srila Prabhupada is focusing on serving Vaishnavas. Because when you serve Vaishnavas, it's easy and it's not difficult also. To please Krishna, in one sense, is very difficult because to approach Krishna is one thing. We need to have a certain level of purity, a standard. Just like if in a house, if you expect a guest who is very rich, then if you want to cook for him, you have to increase the standard of your cooking, is it not? You cannot cook with the same atta, the same oil. This person is a rich man, so you will like to cook the best of ingredients you will get from market and want to cook for him because the standards he is having is very high. So Krishna's standard is very high. To approach him, we also have to raise our standards, which is many times very difficult. But a Vaishnava is very easy. Vaishnava, to please a Vaishnava is very easy because he is easily accessible. In fact, a Vaishnava steeps down from his level and comes to the standard of a normal person and becomes his friend. So therefore, to please a Vaishnava in one sense is very easy. And therefore, even Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu also says in many places in Srimad Bhagavatam that worship of his devotee is greater than his worship. There is a nice conversation between Narad Muni and Lord Krishna. In this conversation, Lord Krishna is asking a question to Narad Muni. O Narada, among five elements, the Pancha Mahabhut, which is the greatest? And Narad Muni says, earth is the greatest. So Lord Krishna says, okay, so this earth planet, it is full of earth. But even this earth planet, there is a lot of water compared to the element earth. So which is the greatest? So Narad Muni says, of course, the ocean is greatest. The water in the ocean is the greatest. So Krishna asked Narad Muni, but the same water of the ocean was gulped, in one gulp, drunk by Agastya Muni. So who is the greatest? So Narad Muni says that, well, Agastya Muni is the greatest. So Krishna asked him, okay, if Agastya Muni is the greatest, but Agastya Muni is one of these seven stars in the firmament of the universe. So who is the greatest? The universe is greatest or Agastya Muni is greatest? And Narad Muni keeps thinking and he says, okay, maybe universe is the greatest. And Krishna says to Narad Muni, then, okay, this same universe was covered by my one step when I took the incarnation of Vamanadeva. So who is the greatest? My lotus feet or the universe? And Narad Muni says, my dear Lord, your lotus feet is the greatest. That means if my lotus feet is the greatest, I am greatest. And Narad Muni nods his head. But do you know, Narad Muni, Krishna says, I am confined in the heart of my devotee. So who is the greatest? And Narad Muni says that the devotee is the greatest. So throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, we will see what? The description of Lord and description of Lord's devotees. Sometimes there are chapters after chapters on Lord's, on the devotees, and sometimes chapters are deleting about their family, their lineage, their genealogical table. Why is it so? Srila Prabhupada says, because everything a devotee does is important to hear. Just like everything a Lord does is important, whether he plays the Lasa Leela or he fights on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it is equal. Similarly, because a devotee is connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anything he does, every activity of his is connected to the Supreme. So even describing, or rather hearing about Lord's, about devotees' activities, even an ordinary dealing like raising a family, getting married, is also great. So, Vidura, we are trying to discuss now from third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is 21st chapter. It's a very beautiful chapter. Especially since we are dealing this chapter, ideal family life. This chapter speaks on ideal family life. We are speaking about Kardamuni marrying Devahuti, and Devahuti is daughter of Swayambhu Manu. So these three characters will be there in our discussion today: Kardamuni, Devahuti, and Swayambhu Manu. And we'll see that how wonderful the Krishna consciousness was, and everything they did was connected to Krishna. So Vidura is asking Maitreya Rishi that after Swayambhu Manu was begotten by Brahma along with his wife Shatarupa, how did they progenate the universe? And Srila Prabhupada takes this point and says, what has Vidur and Maitreya to discuss about someone's family life? Because Vidura had just now left Hastinapur. He had taken up a renounced order of life. Maitreya was already renounced. And there are two sannyasis meeting, two great renunciants are meeting. And Vidura is asking a question about, after getting married, Swayambhu Manu, what he did? How did he begot children? Which children were there? And specifically he's asking now, Vidura is asking, that especially Swayambhu Manu had one daughter, Devahuti. And I have heard that Devahuti married Kardama Muni. So please speak about the progeny of Kardama and Devahuti. So as I mentioned, anything connected to a devotee's life is very important. And hearing about it is very purifying. So Maitreya Muni starts describing about the wonderful activity, the Krishna consciousness of these wonderful devotees. So Maitreya Muni is speaking that one time Kardama Muni was ordered. Kardama Muni is also the son of Brahma, and he was ordered by Brahmaji that now that you have to procreate and progenate and populate the whole universe, you cannot do so. You cannot beget a child unless you have very much achieved perfection, unless you are trained. So you go and perform penances. So this son of Brahma, Kardama Muni, comes on the banks of river Saraswati. On the banks of river Saraswati, he is performing penances for 10,000 years. And it is mentioned that he does this penance along with devotional service. Srila Prabhupada says anything we do in our life should have connection with Krishna consciousness, should have connection with devotional service. So Kardama Muni, after performing penances for 10,000 years, pleases Krishna, pleases Supreme Personality of Lord Vishnu. And then Lord Vishnu appears in front of Kardama Muni, riding on the back of his Garuda carrier. And the beautiful description is there of how Lord comes and he visits Kardama Muni. It is mentioned that Supreme Personality of Godhead, he came, he was effulgent like a sun. He was wearing a garland of white lotus and white lilies. And he was dressed in a spotless yellow silk. And his four hand carried conch, disc, mace and white lily. He stood in air with lotus feet on shoulders of Garuda. And then he called Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni opened his eyes and saw his beautiful Lord standing in front of him. He was so happy. And he started praising the Lord. Lord, just by seeing your lotus feet, one can overcome the ocean of nations. One can go beyond the process of birth and death. But then he mentions, but I am such a foolish person. I am such a materialistic person that I have called you for what reason? So that I can get married. Actually, Kardamuni had come all the way here to perform devotional service, the instruction of his own father, who was his own guru. There was nothing material about it. But he is feeling very much upset that I had to ask, I can ask liberation, but I have to ask for getting married. That was Kardamuni's humility. And he's saying, oh Lord, please forgive me. But this is what I want to ask for. I want to ask that how I can get married to a girl, a lady, so that I can beget children in her womb, so that I can be fulfilling the order of my spiritual master, my own father. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead praises Kardamuni's devotional service. And he says, as per your desire, within a short time, you will get married. And the great Swayambhu Manu, the emperor of the whole world, will come here and will get his daughter Devahuti and marry her to you. Srila Prabhupada says in this purport, wonderful, that Kardamuni, he even though wanted something apparently material, but he approached Krishna. And because he approached Krishna, what happened was, well, Krishna reciprocated with him in a way which he never thought of. Like Srila Prabhupada says that Kardamuni could have gone to goddess Uma for getting a beautiful wife. Generally in Vedas it is mentioned, if someone wants a beautiful wife, approach Parvati Devi or Uma. But Kardamuni decided to worship Lord Krishna because he knew, even though there was some material tinge in the desire, by worshipping Krishna, all that material desire will be eventually vanished. And one can come to the platform of pure devotional service. And Krishna, having realized this desire of Kardamuni, what he did was, he gave him a benediction which was beyond his expectation. Got him married to the daughter of a great emperor, which he never expected. So that is, Srila Prabhupada says, that is the process of Krishna consciousness. When one approaches Krishna, one gets his desire fulfilled beyond expectation, and also he gets purified by that process of devotional service. So then Lord Vishnu was very happy with Kardamuni, and then he told, now I am leaving. And it is mentioned that Kardamuni was not a materialistic person asking for a desire like that. Kardamuni was a pure devotee. And because of his pure devotion, Lord Vishnu started crying, shedding tears. And that tears formed a lake near the banks of Saraswati River, and that became Bindu Sarovar. Now, some verses back, I think so, we were discussing from Prabhupada's translation that Narad Muni is recommending Yudhishthira Maharaj to go to various sacred places, Kurukshetra, Prayag, and all those places. And in one place is also mentioned as Bindu Sarovar. So, this Bindu Sarovar lake was created by Lord's tears out of seeing the devotion of Kardamuni. So, in this way, we can see that Kardamuni was not an ordinary person. And then Swayambhu, and Lord disappears from there. Swayambhu again, Kardamuni again performs his meditation. And as Lord had told him, exactly the number of days later, Swayambhu Manu was on his chariot, driving all the way very far off from his capital Brahmavarta, from his kingdom Brahmavarta. And he was traveling to search for a Kardamuni on the banks of Saraswati. And Swayambhu Manu reaches the banks of Saraswati, and he sees a very beautiful sight. He sees very pious trees, pious birds, great sages are performing tapasya there. And then his eyes fall on Swayambhu, on Kardamuni. And the sight of Kardamuni is very appealing to Swayambhu Manu. He sees that Kardamuni's body is shining most brilliantly. And he sees that even though he is engaged in great austerity, Kardamuni was not emaciated. Why? Because Kardamuni had just now seen the Lord, and Lord's affectionate glance had fallen him, and therefore he was not emaciated. The sage was very tall, his eyes were very large like lotus petals, and he had matted locks of hairs. Srila Prabhupada says, generally when you see a yogi, when you think of a yogi, yogi means a person with thin body, emaciated body, because of the tapasya he is rendering. But Prabhupada says, because Karadamuni had seen the Supreme Lord, had experienced Krishna in his life, therefore he was not emaciated. And Prabhupada says that we have actually seen that one who hears the transcendental sound vibration, Hare Krishna, he also improves in health, Prabhupada says. Prabhupada says, we have actually seen that many brahmacharis and grihasthas connected with ISKCON have improved in health. And a luster has come to their face. It is essential that a devotee engaged in spiritual advancement should be very healthy and lustrous, Prabhupada says. So in this way, Swayambhu Manu approaches Karadamuni, sits at the lotus feet of Karadamuni, offers his obeisances. Even though Swayambhu Manu was a great emperor and Karadamuni was an ordinary person, he hardly had anything. But Swayambhu Manu offered obeisances to Karadamuni. Why? Because he knew he was not an ordinary person. Generally, we see a great saint is called as Maharaj. And even a king is also called as Maharaj. But there's a difference between this Maharaj and that Maharaj. The king is called Maharaj because he is ruling over everyone. He's Raja, he's a king. He rules over land, over provinces, people. But a saintly person is called Maharaj because he rules over his senses. He's a Goswami. And therefore, Swayambhu Manu knew that even though I am Maharaj, this Maharaj is more greater than me. And therefore, he offered obeisances to Karadamuni. Now, Karadamuni opened his eyes and saw Swayambhu Manu. Karadamuni started glorifying Swayambhu Manu because he knew Swayambhu Manu also is not an ordinary Maharaj. He is also a great king. In fact, in the Vedic age, many times a great saintly king would be called as Raja Rishi. That means even amongst king, he is a Rishi. He is a Rishi amongst the king, Raja Rishi. And Swayambhu Manu was also not an ordinary person. He was a great king and he was a great Rishi as a king. It is mentioned that Swayambhu Manu lived in Brahmavarta kingdom and his capital was Bharishmati. When Lord Varadev, he took incarnation, it is mentioned Lord Varadev's hair, when Varadev was coming out of the ocean, Garbhodak Sagar, and he started moving his body to disperse all the water on his body, some hair from his body came out, and those hair came and landed in the capital of Swayambhu Manu. And those hairs created Kusha and Kasha grass. So we can see Swayambhu Manu's kingdom was not an ordinary kingdom. And Swayambhu Manu as a king also was a great king because all of the activities he was having in his kingdom were based on Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says that in Swayambhu Manu's kingdom, there was no anxiety. There were no threefold miseries. Prabhupada clarifies, actually threefold miseries was there. But Swayambhu Manu created a Krishna conscious atmosphere in such a way that there was no inflicting due to threefold miseries. That was Swayambhu Manu's kingdom. And in Swayambhu Manu, he arranged his whole lifestyle in such a way that he would always be reminded of Krishna. That means when Swayambhu Manu would, there would be a time when Swayambhu Manu would get up from his bed. He arranged that all singers would come and start glorifying Krishna. And he would get up hearing about Krishna's glorification. And the same thing would happen when you go for bed. Great singers would come and glorify Krishna and they would sleep thinking of Krishna. So Swayambhu Manu also was a great king. And as a king, Karadamuni knew that Swayambhu Manu was also Naradev, representative of Krishna as a ruler. So there is a transcendental reciprocation between Karadamuni and Swayambhu Manu. So Prabhupada says, this is called as cooperation. A cooperation between a Brahmana and a Kshatriya. A Brahmana gives enlightenment to Kshatriya and Kshatriya gives protection to the Brahmana. A Brahmana is considered to be the head of a society and Kshatriya is considered to be the arm of the society. A body needs strong arms, but without good head, strong arms are useless. In fact, sometimes if someone has no head, or rather headless, or rather doesn't have intelligence, sometimes strong body proves to be disastrous. Just imagine a mad person standing next to you, but having a very strong body. So you need to have a little brain to work nicely, to use a strong arms and strong body in Krishna's service. So this is called as Brahmana and Kshatriya, cooperation. In fact, it is mentioned, Lord is pleased when all the four Varnas and Ashram cooperate. And that creates an atmosphere of Krishna consciousness, a Vaikuntha atmosphere. I happen to hear a nice story about one man. This is a Christian story. He went, after his death, he was going towards heaven. That means spiritual world. But on the gate of the spiritual world, he was summoned. There was Saint Peter there. So Saint Peter asked him, well, you're going to reach the spiritual world. We are giving you a choice. Where you want to go? You want to go to hell or you want to go to heaven? So he said, well, I don't know much about hell or heaven. Please give me some description about both these places. So Saint Peter said, don't worry. Instead of description, I will take you personally to both the places. You can choose which place is the best. So Saint Peter took this man first to hell. And then in hell he saw a huge party was going on. There was a huge dining table, really huge. And everyone was sitting around a dining table. And there were a lot of delicious food to eat. But somehow everyone on the table, sitting on the table, looked as if he was starving for a long time. As if they had come out of concentration camps. So you are surprised. Why they are starving? So Saint Peter said, well, they all have Chinese chopsticks to eat from. But each of those Chinese chopsticks are 2 meters long. So they're finding it difficult to eat with their 2 meters long Chinese chopsticks. And occasionally some crumbs fall in their mouth, so they are somehow surviving, but they are starving. So Saint Peter took him to the next place, the spiritual world. In the spiritual world also, there is a party going on. There is a huge dining table, same scenario. And beautiful, delicious food is there on the table. And everyone is sitting around the table. But in spiritual world, it looks like everyone is healthy, happy. And there also there is 2 meter long chopsticks, Chinese chopsticks, to eat. So he's a little worried. Why there is so much difference? You know, hell, everyone is starving. Here, everyone is nourished nicely. So Saint Peter said, in hell, everyone is trying to eat by themselves. And therefore, they are not able to do. But in heaven, in the spiritual world, because they cannot eat by themselves, they are feeding each other. They are using a chopstick and feeding others. And therefore, they are nourished. And therefore, people are very happy in the spiritual world. That is called as cooperation. So, Kardamuni and Swayambhu Manu, they are not just glorifying each other. They are showing a great culture of cooperation between Brahmana and Kshatriya. Therefore, in Varnashram, a Brahmana is considered important, but Kshatriya is also important. Everyone is important. Everyone has his important place in the Varnashram system. But as a leader, Brahmana takes the first role and leads and enlightens. And Kshatriya is taking the role of kind of protecting everyone. And Vaishya is taking the role of providing. And Shudra is taking the role of helping. And this Varnashram system works in this material world. So Kardamuni, and while Swayambhu Manu is glorifying Kardamuni and Kardamuni is glorifying Swayambhu Manu, at a point, it is mentioned, Swayambhu Manu starts speaking and is saying that simply by meeting you, O Kardamuni, all my doubts are resolved. That means, just by meeting, Swayambhu Manu is thinking in his mind whether it's possible to approach Kardamuni, will he accept my daughter? Is it possible? But just by reaching or meeting Kardamuni, Swayambhu Manu's doubt was resolved. And Srila Prabhupada says, this is the whole idea of meeting a great saintly person. And the result of meeting a great saintly person is that all the doubts in one's mind is resolved. Srila Prabhupada says, I had the opportunity like this to meet my own spiritual master. And just by meeting my spiritual master once, the first time, all the doubts in my mind got resolved, Prabhupada says. So Prabhupada says, in this way, when one meets a great saintly person, just by meeting Lava Matra Sadhu Sangh, one can be able to liberate oneself from the material world. That is the power of association of a great devotee. Why? Because a devotee is in constantly touch with Krishna. And by that touch of Krishna, he can provide Krishna to everyone. Like I heard this nice story in Vrindavan, you know, Krishna Balaram temple. One devotee was mentioning that one time there was a great, one very important, famous guru in Vrindavan. He came with his followers in Vrindavan temple. So one enthusiastic book distributor approached him, please take this Bhagavad Gita. No one would know, generally approach such a person. But because he was a new and enthusiastic, he approached. And he took, and somehow he took the Bhagavad Gita. And he had a darshan of Krishna, Balaram, Radha, Shyam, Sundar, Gaur, Nithai. And he went back. The next day, the same guru came back to the temple. But this time he was very much crying. And he somehow met the devotee and said, what book you gave me? This is Bhagavad Gita. This is a special book. He said, I have read Bhagavad Gita throughout my life, but I have never read Bhagavad Gita like the one which is explained here. It seems that Srila Prabhupada was actually present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and is narrating the entire Bhagavad Gita as he has heard from Lord Krishna himself. He said, I have heard Bhagavad Gita, I have read Bhagavad Gita so many times, but when I am reading this Bhagavad Gita, it is special. Your Srila Prabhupada is very much great. So we can see just by coming in touch with the words of a great soul like Srila Prabhupada, even such a person who is already a well-established guru in Vrindavan is very much touched. And is feeling that he has never heard something like this about the words of wisdom. One Shruti Dharampuru had come to our temple here, and he was mentioning that how in London when he goes and meets many religious personalities who are very famous in society for various religious organizations or their kathas. So one time he went to meet a person who is very famous for his Ram Katha. Many people may know his name also. So this person, when Shruti Dharampuru went and met this man, so he saw that this man was always carrying Ganges water in small bottle. So he asked him, what is this? He said, I am traveling all over the world, speaking Ram Katha. But you know, I am meeting so many people. And all these people are materialistic people. I am afraid of being contaminated. And therefore, I am always carrying Ganges water, enough. I bathe with Ganges water wherever I travel, and I use Ganges water to drink also. In this way, I keep myself purified. In fact, I have a schedule. One day in a week, I have Moun Vrata. So that all the contamination which I gather because of my preaching work, I can eradicate that. But then he told, but your Srila Prabhupada is very unique. He went out just to preach because he had no personal agenda while he was preaching. He just wanted to give Krishna consciousness to others. And therefore he was a Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. He was like a personified holy place going and purifying everyone. And therefore he was personally mentioning that in his tour he was feeling that he was getting contaminated by association of materialistic person. But he was surprised how Srila Prabhupada went out of his way and not just somehow kept himself inoculated but actually made people into holy places. That is the power of a saintly person. So here, Kardamuni is also, Swayambhu Muni is glorifying that just by meeting you, I am purified. And Srila Prabhupada takes this opportunity and mentions the benefit of what actually means to associate with one saintly person. Srila Prabhupada says, meeting a saintly person means actually to take shelter of him and take instructions from him and execute those instructions. And the best way to execute those instructions is to hear from the saintly person. The holes of the ears, Prabhupada says, should be used to hear the beautiful words coming from the lotus mouth of one's spiritual master. And then when you hear from Guru, then you know, then you understand how one can execute Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says, spiritual master instructs disciples through the ear, not privately, but publicly. And the spiritual master says, okay, you are fit for such and such work in Krishna consciousness. You can act in this way. So Prabhupada says, one person is advised in Krishna consciousness to act, perform some editorial work. Another is told to do preaching. Another is told to cook in the kitchen. Somehow or other, spiritual master engages everyone in Krishna service. In this way, the spiritual master is expert in engaging a person in Krishna service. So then Swayambhu Manu then asks for a favor and tells Karada Muni to accept his daughter in marriage. And it is mentioned that Karada Muni agrees to accept Devahuti as his wife. But amazingly, because Karada Muni is well trained, he is saying to Devahuti and also Swayambhu Manu, I agree to accept Devahuti as my wife on the condition that as soon as she bears a child from me, I will accept the life of full devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada says that this is the greatness of a trained person. He knew very well that he didn't have to go into that section of household life eternally till the end of his life. He had to go there, give a child, who, Prabhupada says, Kardamuni desired to beget a child who was a ray of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada also gives the example that in a similar fashion, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also raises family. He had so many children. And he also desired to have a ray of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he had Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as his child. So this is the ideal family life where Kardamuni is already planning before entering the Grihastha Ashram. And after this is over, he agrees, okay, now I'm ready. And it is mentioned the next thing he's doing is he's silent. And he begins to think of Krishna. And he closes his eyes. And we don't see Kardamuni going ahead thinking about his household life so much. Because he's completely depending on Krishna. That's the greatness of such a pure devotee. He's not running around for EMIs and loans and which flat I should buy. He is very much engaged in worshipping Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so Swayambhu Manu also is not, and he's not saying where is the flat, where is the house. He knows this person is well qualified. Even though my daughter is born in a rich and opulent life, but she will be happy even in such a poor condition because the husband is very much Krishna conscious. So that is the Prabhupada, that is the most important consideration in getting married, Prabhupada says. Shatrupa, the mother of Devoti, gave very valuable presents to her daughter, and then they left. Meanwhile, it is mentioned that Devoti, she started serving her husband. And because Kardamuni was so much engaged in penances, always in meditation, he was always in trance. He did not know what's happening outside. But Devoti would just be there and try to serve as much as possible her own husband. And because she always waited for the opportunity to serve her husband, and husband was always in trance, she started neglecting her health. And eventually she also became very much lean and thin. And she could not, her luster, the beautiful face, the beauty also vanished because of so much of austerity. But the best part was, the Prabhupada says, Devoti served her husband such a way that eventually she got all the benefits of Krishna consciousness which the husband was performing. Devoti, it is mentioned that Devoti was serving her husband in two ways, Vishrambhena and Gauravena. And Srila Prabhupada says, similarly one should serve one's guru in such a way, Vishrambhena and Gauravena. What is Vishrambhena? Vishrambhena means to serve one's guru with intimacy, and Gauravena means to serve one's guru with reverence. That means one should take up the mission, the instruction of spiritual master, and should execute as one has to satisfy one's friend. He's my friend, I should satisfy, I should please him. One should feel very intimate to one spiritual master. But yet, one should also know that he is superior to me and keep a distance and keep reverence. So because Devoti served her husband in such a way, eventually it is mentioned, the highly elevated Kardamuni, his devotional service, his devotional credits were achieved. All the realizations which Kardamuni got over 10,000 years of penances was received by Devoti. Just by serving. And Srila Prabhupada says, just like Narad Muni in his previous birth, he served great sages, the Bhakti Vedantist. And just by serving them, Narad Muni became a great purified soul. And the next time he actually got a position of Narad Muni. And in the same way, Prabhupada says, the secret of success in one's spiritual life is, if somehow or other one takes shelter of one's bona fide spiritual master and serves him with heart and soul, all the great realizations will dawn upon him. So after some time, Kardamuni realizes that he has not enough satisfied his wife. And Devoti then expresses a desire to get a child. And then Kardamuni, unparalleled, he creates a huge palace out of his mystic siddhis so that Devoti can be happy in that palace. After Devoti being there in such a poor, very lowly condition for many years, he wanted to give a lot of happiness to Devoti. And it is mentioned that Kardamuni was very happy with Devoti's service, and now he was reciprocating with Devoti. and wanted to give him all happiness. And it mentioned that for many years, Kardamuni took her in that same airplane, which was like an airship. He traveled with his wife all over the universe, showing her all the great wonders of the universe. And then they came back again. And then Kardamuni begot 9 daughters in the womb of Devahuti. And it mentioned that after begetting 9 daughters, Kardamuni decided now to leave, to go and practice devotional service as Vanaprastha. But Devahuti was not satisfied. Devahuti came and told that, you have given me 9 daughters, but eventually they will get married and they will go back with their husbands. But what about me? You achieved perfection in your life, but what about my perfection? And Prabhupada says that is a duty of anyone who is having a responsibility of someone inferior with him, whether as a husband or as a father or as a guardian. His responsibility is to see that everyone who is under him is also elevated and achieves perfection. So Devahuti is urging that you achieved perfection, what about me? I have not achieved perfection yet. In fact, I am feeling myself condemned that I associated with you, such a great soul, but I only desired only materialistic things from you, children. I never took advantage of your spiritual power. So therefore, please provide me that perfection, that fearlessness. And Kardamuni decides to stay back for some more time. And Kardamuni tells Devahuti now that she should engage in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, practice austerity, chant, give in charity. And this way, engage in Krishna consciousness. In due course of time, Kardamuni promises Devahuti that he will get the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Kapila, as her son. And some years later, it is mentioned that Kardamuni begets the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Kapila, in the womb of Devahuti. And when Lord Kapila is born, it is mentioned that Brahmaji comes and he is very much happy to see Lord Kapila being born to his own son. And he comes and he glorifies both Kardamuni and also glorifies Lord Kapila. He is very happy. Brahmaji had given order to Kardamuni to populate and progenate the universe. And here is Kardamuni. He is saying, I am totally happy with you because everything you did was to please me. So this is the perfection of one's life. To please one's guru, and through the guru you please one's please the Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because Kardamuni had pleased Brahmaji, Kardamuni had now got Lord Kapila as his own son. So Brahmaji came, and this time he did not come alone. He came with all of his sons. He had his 9 great sages, the sons, his own sons. And also he had come with Narad Muni and 4 Kumaras. And then Brahmaji told that your daughters are young now, and they should get married, and these are the 9 sages. And Srila Prabhupada mentions all the names of the 9 sages, along with the 9 daughters they married. And Prabhupada says that Brahmaji did not get them married just by flicking of a coin or chance. It was perfect match based on one's character and one's temperament. And each of the great sages were given 1 daughter in marriage. And after that, Brahmaji, he starts glorifying the Supreme Personality of Lord Kapila. He mentions that how Lord Kapila is, whenever he appears in this material world, he does by his own internal potency. Srila Prabhupada says, Lord Narasingha appeared from pillar, and Lord Vara appeared from nostril of Brahma. And here you see Lord Kapila is appearing from the body of Kardama. So irrespective from where Lord appears, Lord is always great. Lord is never afflicted by the material considerations from where he appears. In fact, as Lord Krishna, Lord appears in a prison. That's not a good place to get born in, you know. I mean, someone asks you, where were you born? Even if you're born in prison, you will not be happy to tell you that I was born in Tihar jail. So everyone asks what your mother was doing there. So the point is, no one will be happy to have such a born in hospital of Tihar jail like that. But Krishna was born in prison. And his birth was such a transcendental birth that today people go to that prison to offer obeisances to the very place Krishna was born. So Krishna, wherever he is born, he makes that place a transcendental place. See, when the body of Kardamuni became transcendental, the body of Devahuti became transcendental because they were bearing the Supreme Personality of God in their body. It became like abode of God because they were bearing that So he's glorifying Lord Kapila. How Lord Kapila's eyes are a lotus petals. And how that Lord Kapila now, to pacify Devahuti, is saying, Lord Kapila will now instruct Devahuti, you, in the science of Sankhya Yoga. And later, this Lord Kapila will go all around the world and will glorify your name, the name of Devahuti. And you can see today that Lord Kapila is known as the son of Devahuti. So Devahuti was very much happy, satisfied, that now she will be achieving perfection by hearing from her own son. In due course of time, Kapila Deva becomes big, and now Kardamuni approaches his own son, the Supreme Lord, and begs permission that now I have to renounce and that I have finished my duty. And Lord Kapila becomes very happy, and he glorifies Kardamuni, and he gives him permission to go ahead. And Kardamuni comes and he circumambulates his own son 3 times, and he leaves for the forest. And Vanaprastha. Prabhupada says, forest going means to take 100% shelter of Lord Krishna. Forest doesn't mean just going in forest, but actually it means to take shelter of Krishna. Prabhupada says, at the present moment, this is not advisable to go to forest. Because a person has spent so many years in city, he cannot go to forest. And one has to actually search for a forest also, that is another thing. Maybe you can come to Vrindavan forest. So one should not remain always engaged in... Prabhupada says, what is real Vanaprastha? Real Vanaprastha is, one should not remain engaged in family responsibilities. One may stay there, but one should not be in nitty-gritties of how the money is coming, how the money is flowing, where is the bill paying, and all those things. But one should be interested in increasing his Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, without Krishna consciousness, family life is like a blind well, Prabhupada says, in a lonely field. That's another injunction Prabhupada adds. Blind well itself is a very difficult place, but in a lonely field it's more difficult. So then Kardamuni accepts the vow of later as sannyasi, and then he goes ahead, fixes his mind on Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it is mentioned that his mind becomes totally unaffected, undisturbed. Like so many thoughts are coming in the mind, but his mind is not disturbed. Like rivers pouring in the ocean, but the ocean is not disturbed. Or his mind is compared to an ocean where not just rivers are pouring in the ocean, but millions of tons of water is evaporated as cloud, but still the ocean is fixed. So Kardamuni's mind is compared to that ocean, where something is pouring in or something is taken out, he remains very much fixed. In due course of time, Kardamuni achieves liberation and he goes back to Warad. And the story, as we know, it goes ahead. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila gives beautiful instructions to his mother Devahuti, and later Devahuti achieves perfection of her life, and Lord Kapila goes on his tour, and finally he settles at Ganga Sagar, where Lord Kapila is still there. And Jayapataka Maharaj mentions, one who has eyes can see Lord Kapila there even today. So this is something about, I wanted to speak on the aspect of how Vaishnav culture, the culture of Varnashram, was permeating in the ancient, in the past, in the Vedic culture. And how everyone was working together to cooperate, and ultimately everyone achieved perfection because they all pleased Krishna by pleasing each other. So that is something about Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So we have some time, maybe we can have one question. Yes, one question is here.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. When the attachment is to the family life, it is generally condemned. Generally, like, means if a father and mother is attached to a son or something like a mortal being, it is condemned for the attachment. But if the son is Krishna himself, then the same attachment is glorified. But here we see the Kardamuni, if the son is himself, is God himself, but still the Kardamuni left for forest, Vanaprastha. Rather, he would have stayed in the home and still being attached. Still, he was life of perfection. But why he left to home? And yes, there was not need.
Srila Prabhupada addresses this point in his purport there. Srila Prabhupada says, even though Kapila Dev was the son of Kardamuni, still Kardamuni wanted to set an example for others. Kardamuni knew that whether he is with Krishna physically or he is away from Krishna, he is actually always with Krishna. But he didn't want to disturb the Vedic culture tradition. The tradition is, after some time one has to leave. And therefore he left. So he carried Lord Kapila in his heart and worshipped Lord Kapila in his heart. To prove, therefore we can see he had a separation. He was, definitely one would never like to have separation from such a son as Supreme Lord. But to set an example, Kardamuni did that. Kardamuni had to do it. And he did it very nicely. He was not like grudge, he was doing it. He went and approached and he left. So that is the preaching movement, where one has to lead his own spiritual life, but also see that he is not setting a wrong example for others to follow. Because Kali Yuga is an age of people, where people always want to see something wrong, little deviation, coming from a great source, great play, great person. And they will say, okay, this person did, okay, so I will do it. So many times Srila Prabhupada did something small here and there. So we are more interested in those small here and there than what Srila Prabhupada did in magnificent way in terms of his Krishna consciousness. So to avoid that also, Kardamuni was very much focused in leaving his family. Because he had already promised, he had told that I will leave after I will get a bigger son. So he left for that reason. Hare Krishna. Any more questions? One question here.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes.
In Vedic culture, Raj Rishi and Brahma Rishi are considered at same level because Vishwamitra was also Raj Rishi and Vasishtha was also Brahma Rishi. And both characters were attached to life of Lord Rama. And even Vishwamitra, if we tell, he is very much known for the discovery of Gayatri Mantra. So means like purity is considered as a factor or Varnashram is considered as a factor.
Regarding Brahma Rishi and Raja Rishi, though they are great in terms of the devotion, but still they are in different positions. One is actually a sage living in the renounced order of life. Another is rather a sage in a kingdom, ruling a great kingdom where so many people are involved. He has to rule over them. So that is Brahma Rishi and Raja Rishi. Externally, both may be pure devotee, but because they are different rungs of Varnashram, they have different duties. And they have to execute those duties as per... No one. It is mentioned that no one can start working or taking others' duty. Everyone has to perform his own duty, but perform those duties in devotional service. So in case of Brahma Rishi, they performed their duty in terms of staying in a forest, in a hermit, and performing tapasya, penance, and educating people, yajan, yajan, patan, patan. And a king, he was a Raja Rishi because he was performing his duty as the representative of Supreme Lord for his subjects and taking care of them. That is all. Hare Krishna. So I think we should end here. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Shri Prabhupada ki jaya.